Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hunter takes off for third. There's Horner, gathers it in. Over to first. Ball game. Cubs win. Presley finishes it off. And here in Arizona, the Cubs down the Diamondbacks 10-6.
That was on Marquee last night. John Bugciambi with the call of that Cubs 10-6 win over Arizona. Cubs are 1-2. Remember, they lost those games in Japan. Miguel Amaya, 5 RBIs, including a 3-run double in the fifth. Ian Happ, a 2-run double and a home run along the way. Justin Steele sort of struggled his way, pushed his way through 5 innings last night in this Cubs victory, again, by a final score of 10-6. Mark Grody and Rami Makhlouf with you here on the Score Midday Show. Rami, I don't know if I heard any your prognostication or your thoughts on the Cubs before this season started. How many wins, or about how many wins, did you think the Cubs would have, or do you think the Cubs will have this season?
High 80s. Okay. I know most of the projections I've seen 91, 92. I think that's a little lofty when you look at this lineup and this rotation. Out recently, the Athletic has been, they ranked all the opening day lineups, all the opening day starting rotations. I think the Cubs were 17th in opening day lineups and 21st in opening day rotations. I don't know how you put those two things together and come up with 91, 92 wins.
I agree, and you're right. A lot of people who pay a lot of attention to standings and baseball, and what's including Pakoda, which I know is a system, but it has the Cubs with 90 wins this year. I can't get there. This is what I said before the season. This is what I'm saying now at 1-2. I can't quite get to 90 wins with the Cubs yet this year. 86, 87. I think they're going to be better than 83 wins. Their total, exactly 83 and 79 the last 2 years. But if they had gotten Bregman, okay, if they had gotten an elite pitcher, like one or the other, I probably could have made it. Probably could have gotten the Cubs to 90 wins, but that part bugged me, and I know that I think Jed Hoyer did everything he could possibly do to get Bregman here or make a trade or sign an elite pitcher. I think he's a little bit held back on the finances or the money that he is, his allowance that he has in his wallet to be able to pay for some of these players. So based on that, I not yet. Cubs are good. Cubs are good. They're not beyond that. They're not a team that is built right now, I don't think, necessarily to win playoff series. But if they play well early, maybe you get to the trade deadline, and maybe then Jed Hoyer can do some actual damage.
Yeah, but a 7-8-9 game jump from really one major addition in Kyle Tucker. I know they added some arms to the bullpen and did some other things to sort of fill out the roster, but a 7-8-9 win jump for a baseball team, it's a tall order.
Yeah, I mean, and you're depending on things like, you know, I keep coming back to Miguel Amaya. You are depending on the regulars that exist to have bigger years or to sprout, as I keep saying, which is another way of saying developing. Miguel Amaya, maybe Pete Crow or Armstrong, maybe he gives you some more wins. And you mentioned he did a winning thing last night, getting to second base and not getting doubled up and leaving the door open for Miguel Amaya to get the hit. So yeah, you're going to be depending a lot on guys to do things like this. I do wonder too, like, and I know that you're not supposed to, like, Happ had one of those games, like the opening day game, the big 2-run double, a home run. He opened up a season. I think it was 2018. First pitch, it was a home run. I do wonder if Ian Happ, man, because he's a good player. I wonder if he's ready to go to another.
Take that next step.
Yeah, because I've watched just about every game that this guy. I mean, I was on the Cubs circuit when I was doing pre and post when he came up. He looked like a guy who was going to be great. I mean, just that stroke and that swing and the playing ability. I don't know, man. I don't want to like put that in the back of my head based on this game, but it feels like it would be right about time for Ian Happ to have like a really big season.
I could be wrong. We were talking earlier about the Bulls, and I said it wouldn't be the first time that a 22-year-old and Josh Giddey is unlocked, or a 25-year-old and Coby White is unlocked. I look at guys like Ian Happ and Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson, Saya. They're sort of who they are in my eyes as far as the player that they are now. So Kyle Tucker as well, and that's pretty good if you are what he is or has been throughout his career in Houston. If you're looking for guys with room for improvement between where they are now and their ceilings, I think it falls on PCA, Miguel Amaya, obviously Shaw at third base. Yeah. I think the rest of the lineup is kind of... they are what they are. They are who they are, and they're at their ceilings. And in my opinion, I could be wrong.
Right. And that's not bad. I mean, like, there's some good baseball, like Nico Horner. We saw him
scalding
the
base. Yeah.
Good baseball player.
Yes, sir.
Hitting, making good contact last night. So that was good to see. Let's hear from Jed Hoyer on the topic of putting together a 90-win team. Now, this is yesterday. This is before the game. It's Jed Hoyer on the afternoon show of Spiegel and Holmes, which was in Vegas.
Hey, unclear. I mean, I think there's projection systems that say yes. There's projection systems that say no. I mean, ultimately, I think the beauty of this game is, you know, we need to go out and every day as an organization, from front office to coaching staff to players, like, we need to try to exceed expectations and we need to optimize our performance. And that's really, to me, opening day is, it's the, you know, it's the first tee shot off the tee box. It's the, you know, it's the first game of the season, and it sort of signals that baseball is back. But ultimately for me, it's just, okay, this is the journey, and we need to, as a group, we need to outperform. And that goes really for everybody in the league, right? I think if we outperform, I think that we have a chance to be that 90-win team you're talking about, to you know, feel like we have a really deep, solid team. I think, but every team in baseball, I think, is looking to outperform and to get the best out of their guys, and you know, that's what starts today.
And the Cubs division is just so suspicious as well. And that was Jed Hoyer on the Spiegel and Holmes show yesterday. The boys in Vegas, they are still in Vegas. We'll go out to them at 2 o'clock today.
But with Carrot Top.
Carrot Top, top of the hour, 2 o'clock. He will be live with the guys in Vegas. I'm looking forward to listening to that. Plus, you know, we get out of here a little bit earlier. You know?
Yes, sir.
Put the earbuds in and we can listen to what's going on. Does Jed Hoyer sound like a confident general manager to you right now, Rami?
He sounds very realistic. You know what I mean? That because it's real easy for a GM to come out and go, oh, yeah, we put together a great team. We could easily win 90 games. I'm real confident in this group of guys that we put together, and just give you GM speak. He's giving it to you straight, and he's telling you everything that's going to need to go right for the Chicago Cubs to reach that 90-win plateau that we're talking about right now. And the reality is, he's right. Everything that he's saying is true. I wish that wasn't the case. I wish he was just sort of padding the expectations and really believing that they are a 90-win club, but wanting his team to sort of outperform expectations in some way and get all the love that comes with that. But no, I think he's being very grounded, very realistic, and very honest when he says what he says. And while I say that and I respect that, I also hate that all that is true. I wish we weren't coming into this year like we have the last couple of years and counting on guys to overperform or counting on guys to break out. You brought up Alex Bregman a couple of times. That would have been great. That's a guy who comes with a certain level of performance where you go, if we get that, that's good. You got Kyle Tucker. That's a guy who performs at a level where you go, well, if we get that out of him, that's enough from that spot in the lineup. But asking every year, coming in and asking 3, 4, 5, 6 guys to outperform the back of their baseball card, to me, it's not a sound plan or
stressful way to live.
It's a very stressful way to live. And honestly, it's mid-market mentality.
Yeah.
That is not big market mentality. That's what they try to do in Cleveland, in Tampa Bay, in Milwaukee, is put together a group of guys where they go, we see maybe more in this guy than what that team got out of him. Let's bring him in and see if we can tap that, just tap more into that just a little bit and get a little bit more out of him. Dude, go and get players who you know who if they just live up to expectations, not beyond expectations, but who just live up to expectations, that you're going to be a good baseball team, and stop putting Cubs fans through this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to say, like, Jed Hoyer, I don't want to be too dramatic, but there has been this, because of the pressure, and like you, he sounds defeated a lot. Like,
a little bit.
It might be too strong of a word, or maybe just stressed. Maybe the word that we just used, like, that maybe Jed Hoyer is feeling it. Like, when you see him, he kind of looks the part. He's got that concern. He's almost like talking to us, like, guys, you understand? Like, this is what I have. These are the limitations, money wise, that I have. And I feel like I know I got to win this year. Cubs haven't been to the playoffs since 2020, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's 4 years in an era in which there is a different expectation for this team, a new expectation that began in 2015. Cubs got to, there is a lot of pressure to get their way back into the playoffs this year. So I think Jed Hoyer, and I think it's good. I think it's good that Jed Hoyer is wearing that, because you want your GM to do things and do big things and feel that. And then you have Tom Ricketts, too, who he's had an interesting offseason, too, because he got a little bit testy at the Cubs convention when he was trying to implore people, look, don't pay attention to those organizations that are spending crazy money, like the Dodgers and the New York Mets and whomever else might be on that list. Pay attention to the Cubs and the system and the free agents and all of that kind of stuff. So Tom's angry. Jed Hoyer is looking stressed. And that's really a perfect place, I think, if you're a Cubs fan, to have this kind of stress coming together and feeling like you got, because Tom wants to prove his point that you don't need $1 billion to win. And Jed Hoyer wants to save his job. So it might be the perfect storm coming together for the Cubs.
Do you think it puts the pressure on them and almost forces their hand to win this year?
I do. And I think, and I don't know if I've heard, I'd have to go back. Maybe we've got the audio somewhere. But I think Tom Ricketts has said again this year that, or Jed Hoyer said on behalf of Tom Ricketts, that if they are winning at the deadline, that they could pour more resources into the Cubs. So as long as that exists and this pressure is still there and the Cubs are in the race, I mean, yeah, maybe that's where it gets real and they actually do something where you're like, okay, now I think the Cubs can sustain some sort of playoff run.
When you say, you know, Tom Ricketts' message of you don't need $1 billion to win, here's the thing. You got $1 billion, yeah, dude. Like yeah. You're literally, yeah, a billionaire, and the value of this franchise and everything that you built around it there in Wrigleyville has, I don't know, quadrupled, octupled, whatever that is. Since they bought the team, like, the money is there. I know he talks about breaking even in terms of their year over year finances, but when you look at the value of the franchise and how much they've profited there when they eventually do sell this thing, I don't buy it when you cry poor or tell me that you look, maybe you can't spend quite the way the Dodgers do or quite the way the Mets do. I understand that. Those are pretty unique situations, but there's no reason the Braves or the Phillies or some of the Boston Red Sox or some of these other markets should be able to outspend the Cubs. This isn't Tampa. This isn't Milwaukee. This isn't Cleveland. This is Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Ricketts should just go around town just doing pickups, you know, the way gangsters do, just going to all his place, go to Hotel Zachary. Hey, fill up the bucket. We got another player to pay. All right, now let's go to the rooftops. All right, what do you got for me? Where's my envelope? Take care of that.
Where's my envelope?
That's the money that was supposed to go to Bregman. So you've got this whole thing starting to mesh with the Cubs. So I think that could probably be good. And the Cubs know it. I mean, obviously they knew they were a third baseman short or a bat short in terms of what they were thinking. They didn't want to have to go with Shaw as the guy at third base. And who knows how it turns out. There could be more. I mean, it would probably be a bad thing if Justin Turner had more starts, because that would obviously suggest that Shaw didn't do well. But I don't know about him. I don't know about him if he's going to look good. What do you think of Shaw? You like him? You like the fact that he is up here and then you've got a developmental guy on a team that's supposed to win?
I do. I mean, you're going to have to develop some guys. The Yankees, as much money as they spend. The Dodgers, as much money as they spend. They have a developmental system, and they draft and develop their own players and bring them up to the major league level at some point. But if this is a win now year, you're already counting on PCA to make a big jump in year two. You're already counting on Miguel Amaya to make a big jump in year two. To ask that from three guys, and one of them being a rookie, to be the three pieces that sort of extend your lineup and give you the ability to score runs 1 through 8, 1 through 9, that's a lot to ask from three young guys and one rookie. That's a little bit too much, in my opinion, for a team that is in win-now mode, which I think they are when you go out and trade for a Kyle Tucker who has 1 year left on his contract. I don't know about you, Grody, but I look at that and I go, well, if you don't re-sign him and you don't win a World Series this year, you lost that trade.
Yeah.
To me, that's the gamble you made with that. If you can't do one of those two things, re-sign him and have him in a Cubs uniform for an extended period of time and keeping you in contention and relevant for an extended period of time, or you don't win a World Series in the 1 year you have him, you lost that trade, especially with Cam Smith making the opening day roster at 22 years old after doing what he did in spring for the Astros. So it on one side, it looks like win now. You go and get a Kyle Tucker. On the other side, it's, well, we have a rookie at third base, and we're hoping that he can extend our lineup and give us a little extra punch.
God, and today's going to be interesting. You've got Jameson Taillon going today, and you talked about the pitching staff kind of being projections having middle of the pack or so. Look, Jameson Taillon, and I don't like saying, I say I'm speaking hesitantly now because he tends to be an every other year guy, but he's been good for about a year and change, about a year and a half or so. So if he, you know, let's see what he looks like today. Let's see what he looks like early on. If he keeps going what he's had going, then you're in a good shape. I'm not worried about Justin Steele despite the two shaky starts.
Same.
Coming out of the gate, you know. Shota looked good in Japan. I'm not expecting the magic that he had, the Fernando Valenzuela like run that he had in the first half last year, but I think the point that I'm trying to make here is that it could be a pretty good pitching staff, but it still lacks that absolute dominating, you know you're going to win ace. Justin Steele is close, but he's not one of those guys yet.
And the thing that sort of sticks in my craw about that, Grody, is who's going to be on the mound for the Diamondbacks tonight? Corbin Burns.
Oh, is it Burns?
Yeah, who is a free
agent. Am I off a day here?
I thought it was Corbin Burns. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're wrong about that. I think Burns is not.
I thought they said it was going to go Gallen Burns for games one and two. Am I wrong?
Let's find that, but I think it was like a thing. Like, it's a story. I think Burns is not pitching against the Cubs in the series.
I stand corrected.
It is Merrill Kelly.
I stand corrected.
Yeah,
then.
Who... No, it's weird. It should, like... I got to check this out, but it was a little bit weird that Zach Gallen was starting, but Gallen's been there. So I get it. He's very good, obviously, Zach Gallen, who looks, by the way, like, do you know Josh Mooney? Is it? No, Kyle Mooney.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't he look like
he does a little bit? Yeah, a little bit. I didn't notice it until you said it, but yes. Yeah, a little bit.
Saturday Night Liver, though, he looks like him.
My point still stands, even though I was wrong about him being on the mound tonight. There's an ace. There's a stud in Corbin Burns.
Yes.
Who is a free agent, and the Diamondbacks in Phoenix. You know, they pony up the money to go and get that guy, and Chicago just sits it out. The Cubs just sit out the bidding for a Corbin Burns when that's exactly what you... And not to mention his former manager, the guy who sort of unlocked him at the major league level, and Craig Counsell, is your manager now. You have that relationship and a guy who knows how to use a Corbin Burns and get the most out of him, and they were just... Not in those discussions at all as he ends up in Arizona. Stuff like that does not make sense to me. If you can't get in on Juan Soto, you can't win the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes, okay. You can't get the Corbin Burnses of the world.
That guy would excite Wrigley Field.
The Alex Bregmans. You know what? These are the types of guys that you could have gone out and gotten this offseason.
Yep. You named two. I mean, Corbin Burns and Alex Bregman. No doubt about it.